Hey everybody, welcome back to Arcade Cozy, Cozy's Game Room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And Corey, do you hear that in the background?
I don't hear it, but I will.
I really, you know, I should actually like port those things over and like play them live. The only problem is like, no offense to, you know, our software thing, but it's not the most reliable whenever it comes to like playing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll click on stuff and it just doesn't play, or it takes like 30 seconds to play. So, but Corey, you don't hear, but you can imagine there's piano music in the background. You know what that means. Means it's a bonus episode, everybody.
B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, say it again, my friend.
B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, today, Final Fantasy VII, Remake and Rebirth. Rebirth is right around the corner. Maybe you're listening to this in a couple of weeks, and it's already out. Who knows? But as of right now, it is right around the corner. Remake has been out for about 4 years.
Yes, it has.
And Chrissy just recently played it. So we, you know, have fresh thoughts. Mine slightly, I guess, a little bit more fresher than Corey's.
Mine have ripened.
But you've been playing some of the OG Final Fantasy VII recently, so you have a little bit of that perspective. But yeah, today, just talking a little bit of some of the big sweeping points from Remake, some of what that could mean going into Rebirth, and maybe some of our predictions for Rebirth. Granted, this is... if you're hoping to come into this getting some sort of like scholarly recap of Final Fantasy VII, this ain't the place. Because even though like I, as a kid, played through Final Fantasy VII multiple times, loved it to death. Final Fantasy VII, like Final Fantasy X, I remember so many big plot points. I probably... Granted, I would put like Final Fantasy X higher on my own personal list between the two, but like Final Fantasy X, I feel like I remember like, oh yeah, this location. Oh yeah, these big plot points. There's a lot of stuff from Final Fantasy VII that I really did just completely block out. Like, and even stuff that like is there that I remembered, I thought was sooner. Like Gold Saucer.
Yeah,
Gold Saucer, gonna be in Rebirth. I thought it was, for some reason, I thought it was in Midgar. I don't know.
Nope.
I guess maybe I was confusing that with, Corneo and his whole thing, like the wall market. But yeah, I say that to say we're by no means scholars, but, if you're listening to this, just be aware. Even if we stumble through it and we say stuff that's wrong, this is a spoilery episode. And so if you have not played Remake, if you have not played the original Final Fantasy VII and don't want to be spoiled on some of those things, don't listen.
Yep.
If you want to go into Rebirth fresh with no sort of, you know, pinpoint accurate futuristic prediction of what will in fact be coming, don't listen. But feel free. If you're a different person than what I just said, or if this is like 3 years from now and you've played Rebirth and stuff and you're looking at it, you're getting excited for
revamp,
then feel free. Join on in. But yeah, Corey, let's get started. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Do you remember it?
I do remember it. I remember a good bit. And so I played it when it came out. And so for... full retrospective, I played Final Fantasy VII OG originally in like 2016. Played Remake when it came out in 2020. Now I'm replaying OG and I've made it to Gold Saucer. And I think that is where, and if you've been listening to main show, I'm trying to finish Infinite Wealth ahead of time. And I think this is where I'm near the end of where Rebirth seems, not near the end where Rebirth seems to end, but I'm approaching it. And so I'm happy to let it lie and maybe pick it up after I finish Rebirth just to see how that one-to-one goes. All that being said, I remembered a good bit of Remake having replayed through the Midgard section recently. So
it's a really wild thing trying. So I pulled up just a big old plot thing from Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really do not remember. Again, I remember big points. I remember things, yep. But I don't necessarily remember where some of this stuff happens, when, like where some of, like what, you know, just where this stuff kind of breaks down. And it is wild to me that, like, you would think the Final Fantasy VII Remake is like, oh, this is disc one, and then Rebirth mm-hmm. is disc two, and then whatever comes next is disc three. But like, Remake is like half of disc one. And yep. It's like, I mean, maybe not like time wise, but whenever you look at like big plot points, because like, you know, looking at what's next, at least like trying to parse through this from what I remember, like you have multiple big party like joint. You have like Kate Sith, you have mm-hmm. Vincent, you have Sid, mm-hmm. you have Yuffie, all of that, plus like there's Gold Saucer, there's like whatever else, there's, you know, it ends with Aerith dying, like all of those big things, like that's all that. Well, I mean, it, like that's disc one, like that, the big scene from Final Fantasy VII, you know, it happens early relatively, mm-hmm. but like, again, that's like, it's entirely possible. Like, I mean, and I'm going off of what you said, like Gold Saucer, you saying like, oh, I'm maybe where they might be ending Rebirth. Like, that's still on disc one.
Yeah.
That's still mm-hmm. like, that's still so much out of it. And so like, you know, I guess let's back up for a second. I'm kind of derailing a little bit. So, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake didn't know what to expect going into it, like how much was going to be different. And really, there is not a ton that is different. There is a lot that is expanded on, but the real thing that is different is this introduction of these whispers. Quote unquote.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. Who are introduced very early, and don't have any sort of like full explanation until pretty close to the end of the game with, like, you know, Red 13 joins. He kind of has some insight into him. Aerith has some insight. And they kind of explain, like, basically they're trying to, like, Destiny has a course.
Yep.
It's A to B. They are trying to make sure the Destiny follows that course. And so in that way, like when Barret is killed, mm-hmm. He's not supposed to die. And mm-hmm. so the whispers like effectively bring him back to life. Jesse, mm-hmm. She is supposed to die, mm-hmm. and they effectively like ensure that she does. Mm-hmm. And the entire what Remake effectively is setting up going into Rebirth is like, oh, now anything can happen. Like, we are effectively entering into a world where we have like given Destiny the big middle finger and have allowed it the opportunity to potentially be like, oh, this is just Final Fantasy VII to a T, just made pretty. Or this is like, you know, I've seen people be like, I mean, it's not impossible that this could be like a BioShock situation where like we have all these different worlds and like mm-hmm. Titus and Squall and all these other characters show up. And so like it could Sora could be there. You don't know.
I mean, I think we know.
That means Mickey Mouse could be there.
We're opening a can of worms if Mickey Mouse is here.
To be fair, Cloud is in Kingdom Hearts. I mean,
He is. He's good.
And this is that Cloud. Maybe that's how it ends. Because he's wrapped up. He's got his old wrapped up sword and he's in Hercules' kingdom just waiting to go to town on Cerberus. looking for Sephiroth.
Then he shows up in his Advent Children outfit. Mm-hmm. And after you fight Sephiroth to a draw, I win. He shows up and then they beam themselves somewhere else.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Rebirth. Mm-hmm. Remake is the Midgard section pretty one-to-one other than the fact that they've stretched a lot of it out and added some, a couple more plot points throughout it. None that really make a big difference to the story. I will, because we talked ahead of time, we're not expecting this to be a very long episode. We want to keep our thoughts pretty concise, pretty to the point, into this idea of the Whisperers and, you know, defining destiny. So Barrett lives, Jesse dies, but at the end, now there's a couple big things that really happen that I think are laying the groundwork for Rebirth. And so it's Biggs, I believe, lives instead of dying. He's hinted that he's pretty much confirmed that he dies in the original. And then in one of the many, many, it feels like post-credit scenes in Remake, it shows that he wakes him up in, I think, one of the Sector 5 hospitals, showing that he's lived, showing that destiny can be defied. And then we have, here's where I think we're going to get into maybe the meat of our thoughts on how Remake ends and what we think it means for Rebirth, is this idea that Zack has somehow lived and what exactly that means for the game going forward. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan of this idea that Zack lives. If he does, it feels pretty confirmed that he has somehow survived, or because something with destiny, it's him effectively waking from the dead. Who knows? We're going to find out. I wanted to get your thoughts on this idea that destiny can be defied at the end of Remake and what you think that's going to mean in Rebirth.
So I think one of the things that's worth pointing out and important to note is that, like, going into the end of Remake, like, Sephiroth is at least, like, seems well aware of multiple destinies. Like, it isn't just a thing where it's like, oh, we know as a player that, like, what this means. It is effectively, like, it is a meta Sephiroth who is kind of like reaching out at the screen and being like, I will not lose this time.
Yep.
Like, he is effectively, like, he is aware of his own fate in the past and being like, I'm going to break through this and make sure that doesn't happen. And so, like, I think that is the entire arc of, I mean, the game. Like, because Sephiroth's whole deal in Final Fantasy VII is trying to, you know, his brain breaks because he finds out that he was just created.
Yeah, he's a test tube.
Right. He's not a, you know, special little boy. Well, I mean, he is, but he was not, you know, he was not mommy's special little boy. He was, you know, Hojo's little pod boy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he goes through that. He's like trying to, I can't even like fully remember his whole thing, but, like, you know, he's waking Genova. He's trying to, like, you know, effectively, I don't know. What does he do? I can't even remember what Sephiroth is like fully, like, what his full on goal is. Is it to destroy the world? Destroy the life stream? Is that his deal?
Yeah, he sees no, to my understanding of his motivations, feel very foggy throughout most of the series, is to, effectively eradicate life with the black materia, because Shinra just keeps destroying the earth. Genova is his mother, and she's one of the ancients, and so he's, like, partially an ancient, or he has, like, ancient DNA. And effectively, he wants to cultivate the world back into what it was when they ruled. And so the only way to do that is to kill everybody, you know, because that's what villains do. And he's a great villain. I'm not trying to undersell him in this moment. I think there's a couple other like light motivations there, but that's the primary objective for him.
And a quick Google search is basically he is wants to destroy the planet, forcing the life stream to heal itself, and then in the process merge with it to become basically life itself, become a god who effectively rules over all life. Big evil kind of.
He wants to like rule over all life, big evil, but there's like a whole thing with his like psychology where like he's felt alone his entire life. It's proven he's been alone his entire life. And mm-hmm. He wants to stop feeling that. So the only way he feels like he can do that is to become this god and like absorb the life stream and therefore everyone, and therefore he's never alone. A bit sadistic, a bit full of himself.
And so he like, I think that that is like, I mean, obviously, I mean, he says like his goal in this is to make sure that he does do that mm-hmm. this time. He failed in the past. It's going to make sure he does do it. But I think like the meta narrative kind of going through the entire thing is going to be this level of defying destiny and what that means. And I think it bleeds over to some of the big plot points that will be coming up regardless of like what happens, mm-hmm. namely, you know, does Zack still exist? Does Aerith mm-hmm. die? Even like smaller things, looking at like, again, I'm cheating in some of this because I'm looking back through like plot stuff and having to remind myself, but stuff like, you know, there's a scene where Kate Sith betrays the party, you know, mm-hmm. there's like, you know, things like that, even if they aren't like the big overarching, like these are the things that we remember, but like, you know, stuff again that is meant to play out, that is meant to like move the plot forward. What happens, what doesn't, especially now that they are effectively like in a world where things are different.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, like, I am not fully convinced that Zack is actually alive. I think there's stuff at the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake that almost kind of like hints at Zack, like that Zack being in either another timeline or the original timeline, like almost kind of like Zack's. I wonder if the scenes with Zack just aren't going to be like more done up versions to better tell Cloud's past. Because like effective, like not, they're not going, like, I wonder if it's going to just be like, oh, we're going to see more of Zack in these flashbacks that better kind of tell, you know, like I said, Cloud's past, like kind of telling that story rather than it being Zack all of a sudden shows up. Because I think that there were scenes like in Remake's credits where it was like, I think there's a scene where like Zack is carrying Cloud, mm-hmm. but Cloud and Aerith also like they pass right by them. And there's almost mm-hmm. this like, there's almost this sense about it that they do exist in this, because Aerith like almost senses him. Mm-hmm. And there is this sense of like, they aren't existing at the same time, or they aren't existing in the same place. Like it's a completely different universe, destiny almost. And maybe that's what it, maybe, yep. maybe Zack finds out, like maybe he jumps from another destiny over, like who knows? Like maybe that's a kind of thing, is like, you know, these layers starting to bleed over in top of each other. But you know, something like that, like that is the thing that I think is going to be the most interesting with Rebirth. And I think people are most excited about is like, what does stick, and yeah. what is the stuff that is like destined to happen, that has to happen, and what is the stuff that can be changed, and also what happens as a result. Like, oh, we changed this thing and now this horrible other thing happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what does that look like? And I think that's going to be fascinating to see.
Yeah, I think before we get a little too far into Rebirth, because I think we're teetering on that, I'm going to some final thoughts on Remake. What really worked for you? What did you not like? Because again, this is about 6 to 7 hour window in the first game, probably shorter too if you played through it several times and you kind of know how to like really get through. And they've stretched it into about 35, 40 hours. Just wrap up on that is where I want to be.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the show whenever we were talking about the, I think after the game, but also after I played a little bit of the Rebirth demo. I think one of the main things that didn't work for me so much in Remake was just the amount of things that felt like they didn't, like, amount of, like, foreshadowing things, not huge plot points, but just, like, you know, the number of times seeing Sephiroth in flames and seeing, like, you know, all of these little things. It's not, like, a big detractor, but it was a lot of things where it was, like, you know, the whispers, they're introduced. I think they are like present in the story for way too long before you get some sort of idea of who they are. Like, I feel like you should know more about them sooner than you actually do. But you know, some of those other things, they just kind of are like there and then you never see them. And part of that, I think, is just because Sephiroth plays so much more of a prominent role in Remake.
He does.
Whereas, like, in the original, I mean, it is a thing effectively where it's like Sephiroth doesn't really show up until, like, you know, Rebirth starts at Nibelheim. Sephiroth effectively shows up, like, right before that. And then everybody's like, who's Sephiroth? And then Cloud's like, let me tell you about him. And it's like, in Remake, he has such a presence, and to have that level of presence, I know that they had to be setting him up in a different way. So I think some of that's, it's just, it's kind of just collateral for trying to tell that story in a different way. So it's not a huge deal, but I think that was some of the bigger stuff where I was just like, you know, I was very invested in just the ways that they were building out the world, all of the like characters being a lot more like just interesting and engaging. I thought like the way that they were able to do that, even stuff like Cloud, who, you know, he is meant to be like a very almost kind of like emotionless potato like character. Yep. You know, he even sees growth where he's like showing emotion and he's
a
like
snarky.
Yeah, and, you know, he's starting to feel for his, you know, companions, and it really does, like, I think it deepens, it makes Final Fantasy VII more of the actual story that people remember, because I feel like, in a lot of ways, you play through all of Final Fantasy VII, and you have this, like, recollection of, like, man, you know, Barrett, he's such a rounded character, and it's like, well, but get to the end of this, like, get to the end of what was effectively Remake. Was Barrett that round of a character? And granted, I mean, he's still not necessarily, but, like, you look at, I feel like a lot of those characters come a lot farther in Remake, and you get to see a lot more of them. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that's really exciting, just to see, because I think it's going to mean that some of the bigger things that happen going into Rebirth, you know, they matter more. They hit harder, you know, whatever it is. So I'm excited to see how that takes place. So.
I half wonder when they were making Remake and, you know, they stretched it out this far and they put in all of this, like, you can defy destiny, XYZ. I mean, surely they knew this was going to be a hit, but I half wondered if they were terrified that there'd be audience backlash to remaking this, like, beloved game, not even beloved game, but like critically acclaimed, beloved, like everyone's like kind of don't touch it kind of an idea. And they were half worried that it might flop. And so they did this really long game. It's like, if we're going to do this, we're going to make Midgard as best as we possibly can. We're going to make this a full game, and we're going to try and leave people wanting more. And I half wonder if that's why they made Remake so long. I personally didn't like how long it is. We talk about game length here all the time, just because we're two dudes who really like gaming. It's a very fun hobby. We want to keep it like nice and casual. It feels tough sometimes getting bogged down in some longer games. I hate using the word bogged down, but most people know
I hate that I have to play this game.
Exactly. People are like, you don't have to play it if you don't want to. You don't have to play the newest thing every time, Corey. I know this. I don't.
But I also do.
But I also do. So I half wondered if they were just a tiny bit worried about it. And so they're like, well, let's just give it our all and see what happens. And it worked. To, I think, kind of surprising, it worked so well. I think for me in Remake, the things I didn't like, one, like I just said, the length, but two, there seemed to be a pretty difficult boss fight introduced at almost every waking corner they could put one in, like the train graveyard, specifically climbing the Sector 7 ruins and fighting like the like whirl spinning like robot machine thing. There's one more in there that I'm like, why are we turning this into just a boss-a-thon leading up to the end? And I don't need it. But all around, I really, really enjoyed Remake. I thoroughly loved the Sephiroth meta-narrative and the, like, Sephiroth final fight. It is shockingly an insane fight, if not one of the best fights I've had, final boss fights in the game I've had in many, many years. I think they knocked it out of the park. Going forward, I think I'm on train with the idea that Sephiroth is like all-knowing right now, can see all the different destinies, and like we're seeing there's a different destiny where Cloud and Zack both live, and there's gonna be like you said, like an overlapping thing. And I really wonder, transitioning into Rebirth now, if they're going to give the player a lot of choice in how that goes forward. So, to jump the gun, do you think we had the option to save Aerith in Rebirth? And if so, do you think it's going to come at the price of someone like Tifa? Or do you think it's like, you have to, there's a bunch of things you have to do in order to save Aerith or one of them?
So I think, again, coming from a place of like, I have not played Final Fantasy VII in a long time, like one of the core like conflicts that I remember, or one of the big, so when Sephiroth effectively like becomes his JRPG god mode.
Yes.
Like one of the things that turns the tide that makes it possible to save the world is Aerith's presence now in the live stream.
Yes.
Which is not possible if she's not dead. And so I do, and I saw a number of people who were talking about this who were like, it, and I think that that's what makes it really interesting to think about, is it could go so many different ways. Because if you think about like Sephiroth being all-knowing in this way, like would he kill Aerith and potentially make things more powerful?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Would, and so does it mean that you have to kill Aerith to make sure that she...
I'm glad you... this is where I was going.
And then, you know... I mean, I think that that's the thing, is I think it's going to... I think the big plot points of Rebirth are potentially going to... It's going to come to a head where it's like Destiny doesn't have to happen, but to some extent you need some of these things to happen for the right trajectory to take place, effectively, if that makes any sense. And so I think that there will be a thing where it's very much like Aerith doesn't die the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to be like a plot, like a beat for beat. You know, Sephiroth kills Aerith. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, a big in the game kind of divergent moment where you can choose whether or not she lives or dies. I think it is going to be like a subverted, she still dies,
yeah,
but it's different now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not at the same point. And I think that that is going to be one of the more interesting, like just, and that could be something that happens very, very late in Rebirth.
Yes.
Like it could be a thing that,
if not even in Rebirth.
Right. It could be something that like they are faced with early on and then potentially is like a thing that they wrestle with for a long time. Like something, because that's the thing too, is like Aerith knows
mm-hmm.
stuff too. Like yes. She is not, it's not just Sephiroth. And so it is like, there is a lot of possibility that like Aerith also is able to see into this other side. And it is also entirely possible that like if these lines bleed together and this Zack pops over from this plane or what, that they are able to get this glimpse into this other world. And maybe they get a glimpse that like Aerith dies and maybe they're trying to prevent it. And then they find out that like, oh no, this is the only way that we can save the world. Like, I don't know. I think it's really, I don't think there is a lane that they have to choose.
Yep.
And I think it's, but I think it's going to be like whatever they end up doing is going to be fascinating.
Yeah. No, I'm in the camp of Aerith still goes, but just in a different way. Maybe not in Rebirth, but in a latter game. Yeah, it's the, because they've talked about giving like choice to the player, like in Gold Saucer on the date, you get to choose who you want to take on the date, whether whoever you want in the party. And they've hinted at like you get to make a couple like other decisions in the game as well. And so it seems as if like they're hinting that I think they'll give us the choice. I don't think they will, though. I think they are taking a lot of ideas from a lot of other big open world AAA games and like really implementing those. But I don't think they give us the choice. But I was curious to see what you thought of what would happen. It will be interesting regardless. I mean, it's 4 years now and everyone is still kind of like eyeing it. Like, are you gonna let us save her? Like, are you gonna let us do it this time? Cause that's what they have implied by the end of Remake is that you will have the chance to, granted, like I said, I think it's just going to happen differently.
Yeah. I think so too. I don't know. It's, you know, I'm also trying to think of, because, you know, what I said earlier about like Zack existing on a different timeline, I think it is also a thing too, where, you know, because looking back at some of this plot stuff, Zack, and I don't know how much we want to like dig, because I feel like most of the Zack quote unquote, like revelation isn't going to be, because most of that's like late game stuff,
yep.
But you do start getting the glimpses of that, of like, you know, Cloud feeling like he is, like something's wrong. Like he's being told, you know, oh, remember this event that you saw? Like, here's the picture you took.
Yeah.
You remember this. And it's like, but Cloud's not in the picture. It's, mm-hmm. it's Zack, you know, and you get these kind of seeds of that. And, you know, in the actual story, like Zack and Cloud are like on the run and Zack is killed in this great shootout. And that shootout is effectively like depicted at the end of Remake.
Mm-hmm.
And Zack comes out of it.
Yeah.
So it is a, like, that is one of the things that is a little tough to kind of wrap your mind around, is just like, and it's in the way that it, like, it reminds me of something like Kingdom Hearts, just in general, where it's like, I don't know. I don't know what is necessary. Like, it could just be that easy where it's just like, it's a retelling, or it's just like recapping some of the events, and it's just a better glimpse into what actually happened with Cloud and Zack and all these things. Or it is literally like, oh, now destiny is defied and we're, you know, moving on, and Zack is a figure and he pops into our world and he's this, you know, he's future Trunks coming in to, you know, make weird stuff happen and finally beat Cell for the first time.
I'm like half wondering now if Zack never died in Remake at all. Like, Aerith sensing them was her realizing, wait, no, Zack lived, kind of a thing. And it's this secret Cloud is almost keeping.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just had that thought. I think that'd be interesting. Yeah. Okay. Where predictions for Rebirth. What do you have for me?
So, big predictions, I think, again, coming from somebody who, I mean, it's been a minute since a lot of this stuff happened. I think the biggest themes that are going to come up with it are going to be digging. It's going to be that destiny, like, defying stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of moments of small, big things happening and now happening differently. And I think they're going to toy with that a lot and kind of set that up as a theme where, like, oh, look, anything's possible. Like, all of this stuff, like, this person lives when they used to, you know, maybe they would have died. It seems like the Whispers are trying to fight back, like, whatever. Which, granted, are the Whispers? I don't know. Who knows? I'm not questioning this too much. And I think that it ends up becoming a thing where by the end of Rebirth, they're having to reckon with, okay, Aerith's death. Aerith dying. It's entirely possible that things play out differently than what Destiny is kind of like laying out. But again, maybe she's supposed to die. And it is almost this kind of like falling back in line somewhat with like, maybe fighting destiny 100% is not always a bad thing. You know, case in point, like Barrett may pop into frame and be like, I mean, if, you know, if we hadn't, like, I, if it weren't for destiny, then I'd still be dead. So I don't, you know, I think there'll be some of that. And I think there will be, I mean, obviously, like, showing Zack. I think Zack is the biggest kind of variable in it to me. I think that because, again, not to dig in too deeply into spoilers that probably go beyond, way far beyond like Rebirth, but like Cloud effectively is a blank slate of sorts who remembers things that he shouldn't because he wasn't there actually. And so much of that relates to Zack, and I think it's entirely possible, like, you know, there is stuff I think they are going to stick with some of those things because, like, the picture that I mentioned earlier of, like, you know, hey, you know, here's this thing that kind of plays into Cloud's like breakdown and some of that, like, in the demo, they take that picture, like Cloud, Tifa, you know, they're Sephiroth. They take the picture. Like, there's a reason that stuff is still there. They're still making those points, and so I think there's still going to be a big element of, like, you know, Cloud's breakdown potentially of that, but maybe it comes sooner. Maybe Zack actually is there to tell him, like, hey, no, this isn't what, but I don't even know what that looks like. But yeah, I think that those are going to be the two big things. Cloud, this is going to be like the Empire Strikes Back thing where Cloud is breaking down mentally and emotionally, and they are having to, like, you know, maybe it's all like fun times and like, hey, we go to Golden Saucer and we play all this kind of stuff. But then it like slowly transcends into like, oh, no, we might have to kill Aerith to save the world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think for me, I think story wise, it's going to be a bit looser with some also with the state of play. I don't think there's going to be like a hard order we have to do anything in how.
Yeah.
OG kind of is. I think they're going to kind of open it up. Like, if you want to go and find Vincent, like, immediately, you can. Granted, he isn't a actual party member. He's going to be, like, Red 13 and, like, be able to, like, he'll be fighting, but you won't be able to control him. And so I think there's going to be a little bit more, like, looseness there as much as they can within the story. I do think Aerith lives through rebirth, but I think in a later on scenario, she will bite the dust. But I'm with you in the fact that I think end of the game is effectively going to be Cloud's massive breakdown. And it's going to be like basically ensued by Aerith being like, no, I like can't live and us win. And the party effectively grappling with that. I can see that being like the final scene. Zach is the biggest question mark, oddly enough, because if he is alive, it opens so many doors of like, okay, now what is his role in all of this? Because it feels like he would have to have a major role in all of this. And it's like, does he join the party? Does Cloud die and Zach take over? Just kidding. They would never do that. But for me, I'm just like, okay, where does he fit into the picture? I think that's where most people are like, where if you were bringing him back, where does he fit? I do think the door is open for a different party member to die, whether that be Tifa or Barret, truly. Because I don't think any of the other ones are really on the chopping block in terms of, like, emotional effect. No offense to Red 13, who is my boy? That dude, he's my boy. Vincent or Sid or even Cade Sith, like, don't really have that same, speaking personally, and I would think for probably majority, some people might be diehard Cade Sith people, and, you know, I respect you. Love that. It just wouldn't have the same, I feel like, emotional impact or, like, narrative impact that, you know, Aerith does. And so, I think someone else might be on the chopping block. I wouldn't be shocked by it. Other than that, big prediction wise, I could see them really playing up, say, Cade Sith betrayal, or like hinting at it much earlier on than the game does. Because I feel like in the original, it kind of comes out of nowhere. I can see them like laying the groundwork a little bit more. They've talked about Red 13 having a more prominent role in a side quest there, and I can see that being like hugely impactful for the story. Other than that, though, I don't know if I have any other massive predictions other than it's going to lead on effectively. It's going to end with another Sephiroth fight, because I think whether it's three games or four games, they're always going to end on these fights with Sephiroth kind of strolling in like, haha, I know more than you. Get on my level, get wrecked, kind of a thing. I think he's lightly trying to get Cloud to join him, like recruit him. But all that, I think it's going to end on Cloud's breakdown and kind of just like this Empire Strikes Back, like you said, moment for the party where they're like, we're screwed. Like, damned if we do, damned if we don't, here at the end.
Yeah, and I think that that'll also be like a heavy theme is getting. I mean, it's entirely possible there are a lot of moves by Sephiroth to try and influence Cloud to be like, you know, I'm trying to break with Destiny here. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens when you go with Destiny? Aerith dies. Mm-hmm. Never mind the fact that I killed her, but
yeah, you know, let's skirt past that real quick.
You know,
ignore it, please.
Right. You know, and so they're because I think that is Sephiroth's ultimate goal with this is like he is trying to overcome the barriers that are most likely to keep him from accomplishing his goal.
Yeah.
And Cloud is a big one. Obviously.
Possibly number
one. Right. So anything that he can do to try and, because I mean, Cloud's also, you know, especially at that point, like he's a very impressionable boy. And so like doing something to be able to, right. And so it's also possible that those are some of the elements too of like influencing his memories and influencing mm-hmm. things like that is potentially trying to play into like, I mean, Cloud, we're friends. Yeah. Like if you don't remember this, how can you not remember that, you know, we're like that kind of thing playing yep. into it where he tries to,
he gaslights him.
Yes. Yes. He influences him by just trying to like plant all of these fake memories. And it's possible that there is something like a strong play on that end. Mm-hmm. Since again, that's Sephiroth's goal in this is to overcome Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I don't know it's either. I love talking about this. I'm very, very, very excited for Rebirth.
Uh-huh.
Everything that they've shown off, it looks like a them. It's crazy that Remake is this like self-contained Midgard section that is mm-hmm. done, regardless of my thoughts on like it being a little bloated, it's done perfectly well, I think, in almost every regard. They capture Midgard exactly how you think it's supposed to be seen. But mm-hmm. then them to jump to Rebirth and like, we're going full open world. I don't know if it's full open world or if it's going to be like, the like pocket world thing. That's not a great word for it, but like the
yeah.
quest, like Inquisition, like hub worlds, like each area is going to be like that. I think they,
I can't remember the term that they used, but I think most people are kind of likening it most to like The Last of Us 2's bigger open areas where it's mm-hmm. like you're in this area and it's like, it's open. Like there's a lot, yeah. there's stuff, like you can wander around and do stuff, but it's like, it's open and then you hit the next yeah. point in the story and then that's just gone. Like you yeah. move forward with the story and you're kind of like moving along that path until you get to, you know, so yeah, I mean, maybe kind of like hub-ish worlds, but not like, I don't think there's going to be like, you're bouncing backwards and going to these old areas. It's going to be a lot of like, yeah, you hit this area, it's kind of open. You can kind of run around and do some stuff. And then once you're done, now we move, you go to the next one. And then that's yep. what we, yeah. That's kind of where my head's at on that.
We'll see. I'm curious to see what it is, but all around, it's very impressive for them. I mean, Final Fantasy's been making open world games for a while now, like I'm not oh, yeah. saying, but to this, like the scope of their ambition for this remake of this game in however many parts is very impressive. I'm very excited for this. All the mini games, like I said, the best JRPGs have the best mini games mm-hmm. and they are locking in on those. And all around, I think Final Fantasy VII's combat system, realistically, I know they're going to change whatever Final Fantasy XVII's combat is from 16's. It is the best combat system that they've done, I think, period, of mm-hmm. all the ones I've played. And so I'm excited to be back into that, like, gameplay loop of it, or, like, action loop of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for Rebirth. I'm excited to do our spoiler episode of Rebirth, just to see how wrong we were about everything. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great time. That's something we have talked about doing. I think that's something we are going to be doing and just kind of like laughing at ourselves a little bit, but also just talking about what was to come and revamp.
I mean, it's entirely possible, given Destiny and other worlds, that whatever we are saying now is in fact right in some worlds.
In some
so
other
even
place,
if yeah. we're right, so if we turn out to be wrong, then just know that we were right somewhere else.
True.
And yeah.
Good way to put it.
Yeah. On that note, Corey, that's about the end of this.
I think so.
Yeah. Anything else that we're missing?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, if we are, send us an email. Let us know. Hey, y'all are a bunch of dum-dums. You completely missed the point. Or let us know what you're excited for, honestly. This is Final Fantasy VII. Whether it's your favorite Final Fantasy or not, it is a monumental game in the history of gaming. And this is a really, really cool project that Square Enix is doing. I think we're just, like most people, very, very excited for this and just interested to see what they're going to continue to be doing. And so,
yeah,
let us know your thoughts.
Love it. Yeah. We're really excited. Cannot wait. Rebirth comes out, like I said, a couple of weeks. So we are
less than two.
We're going to know some of those things before too long.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the game's also like 100 hours, in which it may be a
40. What I've seen main okay. story, that's they good. Said will be about 40, which is what that's remake good. Is, which is yeah. wild.
That's not too bad. Yeah.
But it's about 100 hours for a completionist.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Corey, I'm excited about it. Can't wait for the reveals. Can't wait Same. To see what's next. Whenever Vengeance,
Reawakening is pretty good.
Reawakening. Yeah. Returnal.
Returnal.
The
Buster Sword turns into a gun.
Yeah. And he's now a lady.
Yeah.
Stranded.
Still blonde hair.
Yeah, it's
memory issues.
There's something there. It's a Sony thing. Mm-hmm. They got it. They know what's up. But yeah, Corey, until we find out what happens to Cloud, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too? Yay!